I'm in therapy. Okay. Wally, hey, a new Salt and Light team member, just a really tiny one.
Ooh, kind of a weighted question.
We're here!
Yay!
Yay, we made it. Here we are. Oh my goodness. How the heck are you, Hope? I know you just told me off camera, but tell me again. Tell the listeners how you are.
Yes, no, I'm doing good. A lot of things in this season. I feel like I keep saying that like next month is going to be like less busy, but I feel like things just kind of keep coming up and they're all good things. So definitely an exercise in learning how to rest among a lot of busyness, but a lot of really good things in store. I know at least at Salt and Light, there's a lot of really exciting things coming up. We have a couple worship nights, and you know, all of those types of things that are, you know, Battle Ball is coming up, which is so exciting. It's crazy. It's right around the corner. But yeah, so very, very good. How are you doing, Christina? I know, again, you kind of talked to me a little bit, but tell me how you're doing.
I'll tell you, first of all, thank you for your answer. I am doing well. We just shared the news recently that we're expecting a little baby in our household.
Yay!
A new Salt and Light team member, just a really tiny one. So that's been fun, but colorful with all different feelings and physically and ailments and whatnot, but feeling better every day, I think, I hope. So grateful for the journey that we're on.
Yes.
Yeah. And we are obviously not in the same room right now, you and I, as we pass the salt. What? technology is fun and we can still
it
have
is.
A great conversation via the Zoom. So I'm grateful that we still get to talk because the topic for today is really cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. I second that.
Yeah, it's a cool one. So why don't we just like dive right into it? We've been exploring this new topic about the names of God and kind of like two different thoughts. One is like, what are different names of God in the Bible for the Lord that people give to God, that God gives to God's self in scripture? And the other thought that we've been tossing around is, how do we as followers of the Lord name God, think of God, identify God in our mind, associate God with different titles or thoughts? And just in the few times that Hope and I've talked about this, I feel like we've gone down a lot of cool rabbit holes of
absolutely things. Absolutely.
Yeah. And like things that are totally maybe even different than what we thought the names of God topic would bring out for us. So I'm really excited to journey on this with you, Hope Elizabeth.
Yes, same. Yes, Kristen, I'm very excited. Oh my goodness.
So last time we talked about this, we asked on our social media if people wanted to share any experiences that they personally had with naming God. And I thought maybe we could answer that question ourselves, our own question. So I'll let you go first. What are some names that you've like used for the Lord in your own prayer life or your own faith journey? And like, what has your experience been like with naming God?
I feel like, ooh, kind of a weighted question. I'm trying to think now. I definitely, I don't know, a lot in prayer life, at least, I find that I tend to try to give God the reverence that he deserves. But then there are also times where I'm just kind of like trying to, you know, talk to God as though he is a friend, because he is. And I think having that distinction, or not even distinction, I feel like you can use, you know, names like, you know, like Lord, in the same prayer as, you know, your bestie, you know, like you can, I feel like, or, you know, just stuff like that where you can kind of give, oh, the dogs are barking. We'll see if you can even hear that. But anyway, Wally. Yeah, so I think there's definitely a lot of different names. I'll sometimes use comforter, you know, because I think it's also important to remember in times of trouble that God can be our comfort, and like regardless of what situation we're going through. And I'll kind of get into this a little bit later, but sometimes it's also hard to, you know, call God a comforter, because sometimes I don't always feel that comfort that he says that he is for me. And like I said, I can get into that a little bit more later as we continue to talk. But yeah, I usually start a prayer with like, dear Heavenly Father, you know, stuff like that, or like, dear God. I think that pretty much, you know, I'd say we're talking about provider, and I think sometimes provider is similar to that.
I love that you call God a comforter. I haven't actually personally thought much about God being a comforter, like in my own prayer life. Like, I guess I know that God is a comforter, but I've never like called God that when I talk to the Lord, but I really like that vocabulary you chose and that you use. I think similarly to you, I've always like called God like dear Lord or dear Heavenly Father or things like that. But when I was thinking about this question, I was reminded of back when I was in therapy. This was not too long after the original Storymakers, Zateo.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, I think I was actually in therapy during Storymakers. And I was in the original cast of that Storymakers, which was 2017, I think.
And you were the counselor.
I was the counselor, which
that's
is funny.
Wait, that's actually
kind of ironic. I would laugh to myself like, LOL, I'm in therapy. and my therapist was like, hey, what if you like really did think of God as your story maker, like for real? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So we did that, and that was great. And what's important to know is that season of therapy, I had two therapists, one that was like the real therapist, and she had this lady with her who was getting clinical hours and had to like observe therapy sessions. So she was like in on all my sessions. So I guess I kind of had like two therapists, but officially on paper, just one. So that's important to know, because years later, when I ended up going through like a divorce and all of that hard stuff, the girl that was in training years ago was now a real licensed therapist and actually was my therapist. And so,
oh my goodness,
like, when I went back to therapy, and she was like, I know you. And I was like, I know you. One of my first sessions with her, you know, I'm like weeping about life. And she was like, didn't you think of God as a story maker? And I was like, yeah, I did. She's like, years ago, you were like in a play or something about the Lord as a story maker. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, maybe the story maker's back and like is writing you a chapter that you did not anticipate. And I was like, shoot, I think she's right. And so she was like, in this season, we need to think of God as a story maker again. And actually, in my second round of therapy, she would only call God story maker. Like, that's how she would refer to God in our sessions. So yeah, that was like really meaningful to me, that she would, like, when she prayed, she called God story maker, she would refer to him as the story maker. So I know a lot of people who've been around Salt and Light and have been to one or both of our story maker themes that we've done before have probably like found that particular name for God really cool. But that's not really a name in the Bible. So I guess that's an experience I've had to answer the question in a long way with naming God in my own way. We have a couple of different ideas of names for God that we have found in the Bible, you and I. And there's one that you like kind of did some research on that I think is so cool, and I would love for you to share with anyone listening. And I think this is a great springboard into a lot of different names for God, or just a lot of different thoughts about God. And that is the word or the name of provider. So maybe you can just share with us like how you picked out that particular name of God as a provider, and yeah, just like your experience with going down that rabbit hole of God as a provider.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I definitely, for a long time, so when I was in my senior year of high school, at my youth group, we did this thing called the Plato Project, which was where the seniors would share kind of basically their testimony and what they kind of gleaned from that, and would kind of use scripture to back it up, and you like all different types of things, and really just dive into our stories and see what God is teaching us. And in my situation, I found that I was constantly either fighting against asking for help, or like was in need of asking for help. So most of the time when I found I was in that need, I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to have to be the person to ask for it. I wanted to be the person to give it to other people. Like, you know, like I wanted to be able to provide for other people what I kind of knew deep down I myself needed. And so I was like, you know, thinking about this Plato Project, and I came across that. And some of this comes from diving into that part of my story. And then some of it is actually stuff that I've continued to kind of process through now, which is super cool. But yeah, there's like some passages of scripture that I find really interesting with this idea of God being a provider. But yeah, so primarily is the passage of like Matthew chapter 7:7-12, the portion where it says, ask, seek, knock. So this passage says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And so that like first section there, talking all about how basically if we're in need of something and searching for something, you know, we will find it and we will receive that. But I think similarly to that, I was talking about like wanting to kind of avoid needing help from other people, and especially from God. I didn't want to admit that I needed that, which I think is also a source of pride for myself that I find myself falling in sometimes, is no, like God, like I don't need help. I can do this by myself. But that can be very prideful, thinking that we can do things on our own, and kind of actually kind of diminishes the power of what Jesus did, even. Like that was like the ultimate act of providing help to us, the ultimate act of giving us our salvation. And, you know, it's kind of being like, oh, I don't need that. I can do it by myself. So that was a bit of a learning experience for me, and finding like, oh, wow, like by not asking for help, by not, you know, going to God and being like, God, like I need this thing, or I need you to be my peace. I need you to be my comfort in this time. I was kind of diminishing the greatest gift and the greatest act of providing he did. But before that, even, it's talking about how if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And it's talking about, you know, if your son asks you for bread, will you give him a snake? And that whole section there, or ask for a fish, will you give him a snake? Ask for bread, will give him a stone. And then, you know, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And I think the really important part in that is, first of all, God is good and God wants to provide those things. And secondly, that part about to those who ask him, because the act of asking for help is one of the most humbling experiences that I think we can experience as humans. And that, again, recognizing our need for God is such, it's such an act of surrender of God. Like, I cannot do this on my own. I need your help in any situation. Could be God, I need your help to get me through this exam. God, I need your help to give me the strength to get through this really messy situation that I have with a friend, or this really tough year that I've been going through, or whatever, fill in the blank. Truly, like, you know, I got to get through this next 10 minutes of walking in the rain to my class or something, you know, like something like that. Like, this could be so simple or could be so big, but just kind of also enacting this spirit of praying without ceasing, but constantly surrendering kind of, I think, goes along with that. So that whole section there, I gleaned a lot from that, and being like, wow, God, I need to ask for those things and not be all prideful about it and like, God, I don't need this or that, like, and just being like, okay, this is something I need and I'm gonna ask.
I had myself muted because of my child, but I the whole time you're talking, I'm like, so I'm sorry you didn't get to hear all my ums. But like, truly, there's so much like gold that comes just from that thought of like, God is a provider. And if God's a provider, like, we're gonna need to ask the provider for what we need. And also, the fact that he's a provider means like, he knows what we need. And yeah, woof. For some reason, and maybe it's because I've been like at the doctor so much lately, or talking to doctors so much, but when you were talking about God as a provider, I was thinking about how often like doctors are called providers. You go to the doctor and you say like, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is the problem, you know, you give them the whole list of all the things, and they know what you need, and it might be different than what you need. It might be,
yeah,
exactly what you came to ask, like, I want this prescription, and they're like, yes, I agree, this is what you get. Or they might be like, hey, you need surgery, or you need this kind of medicine, or you need to rest, or, you know, sometimes the provider provides us with like totally different than what we thought or asked for. But truly, like, the provider is the provider for a reason, and like, and like knows us and knows what's best. And like, God is so much more than like just this doctor metaphor. Like, God is so involved in every intimate like aspect of our thoughts and our life and our choices and our actions and every single thing. So truly, like, asking for what we need and asking for help and ask, just talking, like you said, pray without ceasing to the provider is like, is the absolute best thing we could do, like, to be as close to our providers as possible. So I love your thoughts and all the scriptures too. I'll be sure to put in the comments when we post this, like, all your scripture references if people want to look them up and dig further. Matthew 7 is amazing. Matthew 6 too. And Matthew 6 is where Salt and Light comes from. So
yes,
we love that. And you have some good metaphors too, like in your, we share notes. So I can.
Yes. So good.
You have some really good metaphors too about like a child and a father and candy and all of this stuff. I don't know. You should share that metaphor. That's a good one.
Yeah. It's similar to what you were saying about like the doctor. Like, and it's so funny because like, I only have my experience as a child to pull from. So like, I mean, I'm sure you have a lot more to add, like being a mom and like having maybe some of these like experiences, like where you've had to be like, no, like you can't do whatever you want, you know? But I think like, I know as a kid, like I did not like going to the doctor, and because sometimes it meant like getting a vaccine. But I think, you know, similar to things like that, where, you know, God knows what we need, and sometimes what we need to maybe make us a little bit stronger for later is like going to cause us a little bit of pain. But I think similar, it's a little bit of pain versus a lot of pain later. But with God, like, he knows if he allows this thing to happen, you're going to become stronger to deal with what's coming up later. And I think that that's a really cool picture to have, especially since you said about like doctors and, you know, God is our doctor, both of our, he can be a doctor of our physical bodies, but also of our spiritual bodies and our souls and our minds and all of those types of things. And so I think that was really cool that that came up.
I mean, here's a literal metaphor. I have an extra model here. But it is true, like being in the parent role, like you see how much like you have to deny or do things different, or sometimes do give like my child what he wants. And that's part of being the provider, and like providing for the child is like, for instance, we just had Easter, and his Easter basket was all cars and trucks and no C-A-N-D-Y. Because I know my child, and I know if I put C-A-N-D-Y in the basket, we're not going to bed at night. No one's going to bed. And no one. And that's not good. I was like, no, I know my child, and I know it's best. And like, he got a bulldozer. Did you get a bulldozer for Easter?
Yeah, it was a big, powerful one.
It was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That he was hoping for C-A-N-D-Y. He got a big, powerful bulldozer because I'm his provider. And I know that what he really wanted would be really
good. The other bulldozer was big.
It was big. Yeah. It was honestly pretty cool. It filled up his whole basket, the bulldozer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Like, you know, you got to, the flip side of this whole conversation is do whatever, if you're going to name, let's go down the rabbit hole of naming God provider. If you're going to name God the provider, do you trust God as the provider? And do you trust God to provide for you well and to really come through for you? However we answer that question will vary throughout different seasons of our life, but like, naming God as our provider means that we probably have to trust that God will provide. Why do you think there are so many names for God in the Bible?
Wow, you got some really great questions today, Chris Anna.
You don't need any research behind it, just your opinion.
I think I mean, there's definitely different names that pertain to God in different seasons. And not that, I mean, the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which is, I think, something else we were talking about last time, too. But this idea that, like, he stays the same, you know, so then it's kind of like, well, if he's the same, then how are the names changing? And I think it just, each name reveals something different about God's character. And I think there is so much to unpack about who God is, and you know, more so than what he necessarily does for us. And I think it's important to see how God can be a provider in our own lives, but also just how that's just who he is, and that's what his character is, you know. And I think seeing past even like what it means for our own lives, but also just in general for the plan that he has in place, I think is really cool to see him as like the overarching character, like a professor even at Messiah, like talking about how like this book, you know, like the Bible it's not a story about us, it's a story about God. And like how important it is to remember that when we're using these names, that it's just simply revealing different things about him. And I think and different characters throughout the book refer to God as different things to also make him more personal to each one of them. You know, I think about I'm gonna forget that. I might need your help out with this. The name of when Abraham wasn't trusting God to provide a child to him, and he ended up sleeping with his slave. Like she ended up using the name Elroy to refer to God as the God who sees. And when God promised, like, I will also use your son to continue generations. And so I thought like that was really cool how there's like just very specific times where I don't even know if that comes up anymore in the Bible. Like, I'd have to look more into that, but how personal God can be and is for each one of us. And, you know, again, like I said about Comforter, and you were like, I hadn't thought about it like that, or, you know, just other things that I've heard other people refer to God as, and I'm like, I'd never thought about it like that. Like, I think is so cool how we each understand different parts of his character differently. I think that's personally what I think. Do you have any other thoughts on why that could be, or like,
not really anything much different than your thoughts. I love what you say about like how all God's character is revealed to us in all different ways in scripture. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the Bible is about the Lord. It's not a story about us. But we are characters in this story for sure.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Pivotal to God's love, but it's God's story. And I think it's cool that when you look at different generations and different time periods in scripture and different seasons in scripture, how God relates to people differently, and God shows up in different ways, like whether it's through the Holy Spirit or through the way God just like interacts with certain prophets or leaders or just ordinary people. And then God's like a carpenter in Nazareth. Like, there's all yes. different versions of the Lord. And so therefore there's all different names, and God is like willing to be different names to different people. Like to Moses, he's like, I am, period. Like, that's what I am.
Yes.
But yeah, to Hagar, he was like, I'm the God who sees. And to the prophets that were like predicting Jesus, they're like, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace.
Yes.
Like, there's all different things. And then we'll talk about this next week, but like, then we get to the New Testament, he's like, I'm a father, I'm a good shepherd, I am mm-hmm. A savior, I am a comforter in Psalms, like ever-present help in times of trouble, like close to the brokenhearted. Yes. Like, so many people use different names based on like how they needed God in that season. Like, even just reading the different Psalms that David wrote, there's all different ways that he names God, based on if he's like running for his life and hiding, or if he's rejoicing after a victory. Like, he has different names for God. And so I think it gives us the freedom to think bigger about God and think widely for how we name God. So yeah, I don't really know, I guess, the exact why there's all different names for God, other than we are humans grasping at this concept of God. And so we, in our humanness, come up with different names, and God like meets us there and gives us some, and is willing to step into different shoes for what we need when we need it, because he's a provider. That's what,
yes, absolutely.
That's what a good provider does. and the character of God is named in all different ways. So that's like a great segue into where we want to go next. So we talked about mm-hmm. provider for a little bit. But we're going to kind of journey into like a really specific story in scripture in the New Testament. So tell us about where we're headed next as we name God.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. I really liked diving into provider. But that's something that I've been thinking about for a while. Like, you know, it's kind of been marinating a bit. And so this next thing that we're going to kind of dive into is something that I think the Lord has just been kind of like, it just kind of happened. And we're going to be kind of talking about the passage of John 10, specifically the section that is the shepherd and the gate. And yeah, I think it's super cool. There's a lot packed in there, a lot about who God is, a lot about who Jesus is, a lot about who we are as well, and who we're called to be, and how we are to kind of follow Jesus into the pasture with our fellow sheep. So I don't know. I love hearing like how we can be referred to as the sheep, because I think we are just like kind of dumb creatures sometimes. And like, you know, even talking about the passage where it's, you know, like in Psalm 23 about the Lord is my shepherd, and talking about, you know, his rod and his staff comfort me. And I think What's also really cool about that is that the rod, like we think of the rod as being something scary, but instead it's something that literally guides the sheep so they know where they're going. And so that's another way that like God is our provider in the way of like providing the next steps forward, regardless of whether we see where we are heading or, and we can get more into that then. I don't want to, you know, spoil it too much, but there's a lot of connections between provider and shepherd, because the shepherd is the provider for his sheep. And so I think it is a perfect segue into that. So, yeah.
Like, provider is a great one to start with, because it really is like an umbrella term, mm-hmm. God, and it's different than just like Lord, Father, God, whatever. But like provider is like, he provides everything we need. He also provides us different names for him, which I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of just said, but yeah, John 10 is where we're going to land. And there's a lot of so many good, like Jesus is speaking to us in John 10 and like classic Jesus, mm-hmm. just giving us like boom after boom after boom, like great.
Yes. Great mic drops. Yes.
Yeah. So many. It's so good. So I guess my encouragement for anyone listening until the next episode comes out would be to maybe read John 10. Yeah, maybe read it. Just peruse your way through it. It's a quick chapter to read and an enjoyable one. And maybe even read like 8 and 9 and 11 and 12 if you really want to get the full picture of what's happening. But Psalm 23 is another one that kind of ties into John 10 if you want to dive into some other scriptures too. Yes, also absolutely. Another great one. And maybe I would also encourage people, since we talked about this first name of God, to this week when you're praying, like, and this will be a challenge for me too, be like,
oh, absolutely. Same.
Like,
yeah.
Address God as provider. Be like, hello, provider. Or just like thinking about all the things that God has provided for us, good and bad. Because mm-hmm. like, God's provided plot twists in my life that I would label as not great. But then God provided hope through them and healing through them and mm-hmm. restored so much through them. So what has God provided for you? And can you just like think of God as provider this week? I'm going to try that. I feel mm-hmm. a little happy, little conviction. But yeah, maybe just like spend some time in John 10 till next week. What about you? Anything you would encourage people to do before we talk again?
Yeah, I think I know that's something that personally I also need to see is like in my day-to-day life about how, you know, God is providing opportunities for like there are opportunities. Like, I also have to like learn the lesson of like every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And I think that often I get frustrated because I'm like, God, you're providing, and there are seasons where he's providing a lot of opportunities. And I'm like, but God, like, I feel like I don't know which opportunities I'm supposed to take. Or like, you know, I would rather you provide maybe just one or two things that I'm supposed to do instead of all of these things. But I think in those seasons, also seeing God as a provider in the way of making me think about, you know, where he wants me to go, and not just telling me all the time, but instead also giving me the opportunity to, you know, be alongside him. And, you know, I think seeing situations like that where throughout your day to day, where you're just kind of seeing God as, you know, someone who's providing growth, and providing, you know, like there's so many more things that I could say, but I don't want to like make this like an hour and a half. But if anyone has any, wants to, you know, chat more about this, you know, like I have a lot of thoughts about this one specifically, but, and I'm sure it'll come back later with some of the other names too. But yeah, I would say just kind of think about it in a more practical, you know, we're all about doing things practically and not just these abstract thoughts of, oh, you know, but instead like, yeah, like seeing, you know, day to day, like you were saying, just in prayer life, you know, like that's a very practical way of just, you know, seeing like how God is providing is just in prayer. And so that was a lot, and I'm sure, you know, but yes, that's what I'm thinking.
That's so beautiful. And I think like it is cool to, if for you and I, like to see how many different like scrambling amazing yes. thoughts have unfolded. Like, I hope that anyone listening that ripple effects to them too, and that anyone can go down different thought paths and different mm-hmm. rabbit holes of this like topic. But I think like it'd be neat to see like if in our prayer life, just in a week, naming God as provider in the way we name God and thinking of the things God's provided or can provide or asking for provision, how that might just change our attitude, change our mm-hmm. faith journey, change the way we think about God. Like, how could that one little shift like make a big difference? I'd like to see that. So maybe we'll report back next week.
There you go.
how it's been. But yeah, this has been a great salt passing.
Yes. Oh, passing the salt. So, so good. So, so good.
Pass that salt. Thank you to anyone listening for dealing with my child. Did have a visitor, but that's the way it is. I look forward to talking about John 10 with you really soon.
Yes, no, looking forward to it. And thank you for everyone tuning in. Thank you, Chrisanna, as well, for chatting. It's so fun, so fun.
So fun. All right, friends, we will talk to you soon and we'll pass the salt with you really soon.
Yes, pass the salt to your friends as well, too. Yes, have deep conversations. So yes. Good.
Keep talking about it. Debate and then still be kind. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.